Wilson fully abandoned his faith in congressional government when he witnessed Teddy Roosevelt's success at turning the Oval Office into a bully pulpit. The former advocate of congressional power became an unapologetic champion of the imperial presidency. "The president," he wrote in 1908 in Constitutional Government in the United States, "is at liberty both in law and in conscience to be as big a man as he can. His capacity will set the limit, and if Congress be overborne by him, it will be no fault of the makers of the Constitution, but only because the president has the nation behind him and Congress has not." Wilson's view of politics could be summarized by the word statolatry, or state worship, the same sin with which the Vatican charged Mussolini. Wilson believed that the state was a natural, organic, and spiritual expression of the people themselves. From the outset, he believed that the government and people should have an organic bond that reflected the true spirit of the people, or what the Germans called the Volkgeist. "Government is not a machine, but a living thing," he wrote in Congressional Government. "It falls not under the Newtonian theory of the universe, but under the Darwinian theory of organic life." From this perspective, the ever-expanding power of the state was entirely natural. Wilson, along with the vast majority of progressive intellectuals, believed that the increase in state power was akin to an inevitable evolutionary process. Governmental experimentation, the watchword of pragmatic liberals from Dewey and Wilson to FDR, was a social analog to evolutionary adaptation. Constitutional democracy, as the founders understood it, was a momentary phase in this progression. Now it was time for the state to ascend to the next plateau. "Government," Wilson wrote approvingly in The State, "does now whatever experience permits or the times demand." Wilson was the first president to speak disparagingly of the Constitution. Wilson reinforced such attitudes by attacking the very idea of natural and individual rights. If the original authentic state was a dictatorial family, Wilson argued in the spirit of Darwin, what historical basis was there to believe in individual rights? "No doubt," he wrote, taking dead aim at the Declaration of Independence, "a lot of nonsense has been talked about the inalienable rights of the individual, and a great deal that was mere vague sentiment and pleasing speculation has been put forward as fundamental principle." If a law couldn't be executed, it wasn't a real law, according to Wilson, and abstract rights were vexingly difficult to execute. Wilson, of course, was merely one voice in the progressive chorus of the age. "We must demand that the individual shall be willing to lose the sense of personal achievement and shall be content to realize his activity only in connection to the activity of the many," declared the progressive social activist Jane Addams. "Now men are free," explained Walter Rauschenbusch, a leading progressive theologian of the social gospel movement in 1896, "but it is often the freedom of grains of sand that are whirled up in a cloud and then dropped in a heap. But neither cloud nor sand heap have any coherence."